The centre of the heap of trolleys was no longer visible. Something was going on. A pale blue glow hung over the huge pyramid of twisted metal, and there were occasional flashes of lightning deep within the pile. Trolleys slammed into it like asteroids accreting around the core of a new planet, but a few arrivals did something else. They headed for tunnels that had opened within the structure and disappeared into the glittering core. Then there was a movement at the tip of the mountain, and something thrust its way up through the broken metal. It was a glistening spike, supporting a globe about 2 meters across. It did nothing very much for a minute or two, and then, as the breeze dried it out, it split and crumbled. White objects cascaded out, were caught by the wind, and fountained over Ankh Morpork and the watching crowds. One of them zigzagged gently down across the rooftops and landed at the feet of Windle Poons as he lurched outside the library. It was still damp, and there was writing on it. At least, an attempt at writing. It looked like the strange organic inscription of the snowflake balls. Words created by something that was not at all at home with words. Sail, sail, sail. Starts tomorrow. Windle reached the university gateway. People were streaming past. Windle knew his fellow citizens. They'd go to look at anything. They were suckers for anything written down with more than one exclamation mark after it. He felt someone looking at him and turned. A trolley was watching from an alleyway. It backed up and whizzed away. "What's happening, Mr. Poons?" said Ludmilla. There was something unreal about the expression of the passers-by. They wore an expression of unbudgeable anticipation. You didn't have to be a wizard to know that something was wrong, and Windle's senses were whining like a dynamo. Lupine leapt at a drifting sheet of paper and brought it to him. "Amazing reductions." Windle shook his head sadly. 5 exclamation marks, the sure sign of an insane mind. And then he heard the music. Lupine sat back on his haunches and howled. In the cellar under Mrs. Cake's house, Schleppel, the bogeyman, paused halfway through his third rat and listened. Then he finished his meal and reached for his door. Count Arthur Winkings Notfarauto was working on the crypt. Personally, he could have lived or relived or unlived or whatever it was he was supposed to be doing without a crypt. But you had to have a crypt. Doreen had been very definite about the crypt. It gave the place tone, she said. You had to have a crypt and a vault, otherwise the rest of vampire society would look down their teeth at you. They never told you about that sort of thing when you started vampiring. They never told you to build your own crypt out of some cheap 2x4 from Chalky the Troll's wholesale building supplies. It wasn't something that happened to most vampires, Arthur reflected. Not your proper vampires, your actual Count Jugular, for example. No, a toff like him would have someone for it. When the villagers came to burn the place down, you wouldn't catch the county's own self whipping down to the gate to drop the drawbridge. Oh, no, he'd just say, "Igor," as it might be. "Igor, just sort it out, chop chop." Well, they'd had an advert in Mr. Keeble's job shop for months now. Bed, 3 meals a day, and hump provided if necessary. Not so much as an inquiry, and people said there was all this unemployment around, it made you livid. He picked up another piece of wood and measured it, grimacing as he unfolded the ruler. Arthur's back ached from digging the moat. And that was another thing your posh vampire didn't have to worry about. The moat came with the job, style of thing. And it went all the way round, because other vampires didn't have the street out in front of them, and old Mrs. Pivey complaining on one side and a family of trolls Doreen wasn't speaking to on the other, and therefore they didn't end up with a moat that just went across the backyard. Arthur kept falling in it. And then there was the biting the necks of young women. Or rather, there wasn't. Arthur was always prepared to see the other person's point of view, but he felt certain that young women came into the vampiring somewhere, whatever Doreen said. In diaphanous peignoirs. Arthur wasn't quite certain what a diaphanous peignoir was, but he'd read about them, and he definitely felt that he'd like to see one before he died. Or whatever. And other vampires didn't suddenly find their wives talking with V's instead of W's, the reason being your natural vampire talked like that anyway. Arthur sighed. It was no life or half-life or afterlife or whatever it was, being a lower-middle-class wholesale fruit and vegetable merchant with an upper-class condition. And then the music filtered in through the hole in the wall that he'd knocked out to put in the barred window. "Ow!" he said, and clutched at his jaw.